We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Five Star App Meditation Studio. I'm Patricia Karpus, co-founder of Meditation Studio and your host on Untangle, along with my co-host every other week, Ariel Garten, co-founder of Muse, the brain sensing headband. Join us each week as we introduce you to authors, experts, and thought leaders who share their stories on how meditation and mindfulness practices have the power to change our lives. Today's guest is the amazing Kristen Noel, founder of Best Self Magazine. The magazine was created out of Kristen's own personal journey and her belief that it's always possible to re-script our lives to live a more authentic, inspired life that truly gives us joy. She shares her own story and how she managed to reinvent herself after some pretty challenging times. Her belief is that together we can have a larger impact than any of us can have alone. She considers Best Self a co-creation with other thought leaders who share her goal to keep striving, seeking, and serving with words and ideas that inspire us, empower us, and connect us to one another. Before we get started, just a little reminder to check out our app, Meditation Studio, with meditations designed to help you with many of life's challenges and to inspire you just when you need it. Now, here's Kristen. Kristen, it is so great to have you on Untangle today. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's totally an honor.
Will you give us a little bit of a little background on your personal journey, the journey that led you to create your magnificent Best Self magazine?
Sure. How much time do you have? I always say that it was really the journey of connecting the dots of my own life and healing. And selfishly, in a way I laugh, I say, you know, it was like on the job training for me. I sort of called forth what I needed, the information that I needed to learn and still need to learn and to bring into my life. So I didn't set out to create a magazine, but I think it's one of those things that when you sort of like take an action and put one foot in front of the other and take a step, you never really know where it's going, but it landed in this beautiful place.
Well, what inspired it? I know you had other jobs before you decided to be more entrepreneurial. What was your wake up call, or what was the journey that led you to that inspiration?
Well, it's funny. I think that I've always been an entrepreneur. I was an entrepreneur as a kid. And found myself in Paris when I was 15 and I was modeling and living on my own and traveling the world. And it's funny because then there's this other side of me. I don't even know what you would call it, this counterbalance, which was saying like, but wait a minute, you've got to go back to school and you need to get a real job. And so there was this part of me that was this little bird, this entrepreneur that wanted to fly. And then this other part of me that was like, you need a real job. And so I've kind of done all of that in my life. In many different forms. But really what led to Best Self, or what planted the seeds for Best Self, was a real life tsunami, a real crisis and an event that happened in my life where I ultimately, you know, landed flat on the floor, and anything there was to lose, I lost. And that was included my marriage, my home, all of my money, and my sort of fairy tale visions of what my life was supposed to be. And I think that it's not that everybody needs to experience something so dramatic, but I do think that in those instances, those life crises where we like really find ourselves flat on the ground, you know, it's not instantly that we have this insight about it, but, you know, those are amazing gifts. Those can be incredible, incredible resets and do-overs and an opportunity to give you this like blank white canvas, because let's face it, when you're flat on your ass, I mean, there's no place else to go but up.
Yeah. Right? Did you believe when you were a child or even as you were growing up in a fairy tale life? And do you think most of us do believe in that, or we have a singular definition of what that might look like?
I didn't have any delusions growing up that life was going to be a fairy tale. I mean, I actually grew up in a very, very nice suburb where most people had a lot of money. And I was very aware that we were like the only people in the neighborhood that didn't. You know? So I wasn't growing up in a fairy tale per se, but I think for women, I think that there is this underlying thing, even if it's not something that your parents are necessarily saying to you, but I believe there's this princess coding where deep down inside, we still want to be saved. Now, I wasn't raised to go to college to find a husband, but still somewhere this message got downloaded. Somewhere in society, I still, when things got crappy, you know, it was like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, and there was always this looking to the exterior to save and fix me. I think that's something that we need to take a look at.
Yeah, I love the way you just called it that princess coding, because I think a lot of women have, you know, this sort of duality, wanting to be entrepreneurs, wanting to be somewhat independent, wanting freedom to find our own voices. And at the same time, we deal with those kind of cultural norms of who we should marry and what work we should do and how many children we should have. And I do feel like there's that, you know, there's sort of an interplay between the two of them. And that's kind of what you're describing, you know, that conflict between loving to freedom, but also having this gnawing thing about what does it look like to have a real job?
Well, it's still there. It's still really there. And I think that sometimes, you know, we're not having the conversation because entrepreneurs and these women who are very, very successful and achieving great things don't want to talk about it, but it's still there. And I still have to catch myself. And like I said, I didn't have a mom and dad who said, grow up and you can't do this on your own and grow up and find a husband and he'll take care of you. That wasn't something that I was being fed, but somewhere along the line I was. And I sometimes even catch myself just observing people. I'll see something and then I'll think like, oh, well, I wonder what her husband does. And I have to catch myself. But that's a real knee-jerk download that needs to be unpacked.
Yeah. It's funny because meditation, we talk a lot about being on autopilot. And I think some of our thoughts are these autopilot thoughts that come from all of that cultural coding that we've had.
Right.
So it's great that you kind of catch yourself. I do the same thing. I'll like say, oh, you are judging.
Right.
And it's an automatic response, but it's good to be able to notice it. So I love that you do that.
Oh, absolutely. I think you have to catch yourself. It's funny that you're saying that also, but what I've been noticing around me a lot is, you know, just sort of that deprogramming of patterns. And that is really tough, right? Because I think the more work that you do and the more meditation and the more self-help kind of stuff that you're surrounding yourself by and the more seeking and searching and reaching and getting in the trenches, rolling up your sleeves, I think the more you start revealing about yourself. And also you remember, like if I've been doing this my whole life, that's a long time. So I'm not going to just fix it on one session on the cushion, right? Or writing a journal entry or whatever, you know, it's going to take a little while to undo. I mean, I think that's where we have to give ourselves some slack, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, we've been doing this for a long time.
How do you even begin to deprogram patterns?
For me, it was, first of all, I was like thinking, I'm just going to step back for 1 second. I was thinking as I'm preparing to sit down with you today, I'm running around my office frenetically turning off or attempting to turn off all the noisemakers, right? To turn off the phones and turn off the computer and turn off whatever's going to beep and bing, right? And I realized like what a big effort that is and how much noise we have in our lives. And it's about getting quiet. It's about having a willingness to listen to what's going to come up. Like whether it's, if you have a solid meditation practice, when something comes up, it's not just about recognizing it or hearing it. It's about listening to it, especially if it's something you don't want to hear.
That's the hardest.
That's the hardest. And I think that's where we get all the yeah, buts, you know, yeah, I probably should leave my job, but I need to pay the mortgage, or I need to be out of this toxic relationship, but, you know, we come up with these excuses. So we already know what we need. We already know what works, what's good for us, what makes us feel good. But it's that the wisdom is listening to it.
I think you're absolutely right. And it's listening and maybe even knowing that you have a choice.
Absolutely. That's the beautiful word. That's the beautiful word. See, that's the other thing. That's everything, right? So when my life fell apart, I just stayed really, really busy, really, really hysterical, really, really busy, was in perpetual motion. So I didn't have to sit. I wasn't still and sitting long enough to actually hear what was my body was trying to tell me, what my soul was trying to tell me. I was just very disconnected. I didn't have a practice. I didn't have those tools. I didn't have...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great. And this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now back to our show.
Those words, I had no mortal idea how to rescript. And I also just thought it wasn't possible. I thought, oh, you know, great. This is my lot in life and this is what I'm stuck with. So it is knowing that you can choose how you're going to feel. You can choose to happen to life instead of letting life happen to you, right?
Yeah.
It's just those, it's those little semantics. It's not like big, big, big stuff. And we don't need to go out into the world and hire all these people. There's a time and a place for that, right? There's, I call it the support staff. There's a time and a place for a great workshop and a great book and a great podcast and whatever it is going to work for you. It's really about getting quiet. It's really, and I didn't know how to do that. Yeah. I didn't know how to do that. It's as simple as that sounds. I didn't know how to do that.
Well, I think a lot of us don't know how to do that. And I'm just like curious, when you were feeling so disconnected and you were kind of at rock bottom, how did you climb out of that darkness? What were your like first steps? How did you even make that move?
Well, all kinds of fun things happened. Like I got to go move home and live with my parents back in my childhood room with, you know, a toddler in tow. But, you know, I often say that my son saved me, because perhaps if I didn't have this little yummy baby, I would have wallowed on the sofa and felt sorry for myself and stayed in victimhood, right? But I, as a mom, I think it was just all that protective mama bear stuff. And I was like, you know what, damn it. His life is not going to be marred by these, you know, crappy decisions his father and I made. And he deserves more. And in trying to give that to him, I was really giving it to myself as well. And, you know, I always say that, like, if a crack of light gets through in the darkness, there's no returning, right? You're never going to go back. Yeah. And it was a process. It was a long time. This event actually took place 14 years ago. It didn't happen. My recovery didn't happen overnight. In the beginning, it was really more about the practical, tactical things I had to do, about how I'm going to put food on the table, how I'm going to have shelter over my head, what I'm going to do for money, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But then things start to soften. And even if you just can enjoy the beauty in the moments, the little moments in between the bigger moments, right? And having a child and slowing down, and that helps provide that space. And so that's why I say it again, I really feel he saved me
Yeah. Did you start writing at that time, or were you meditating, or were there other things, or would you say your little yummy munchkin was your meditation?
He probably was my meditation. Again, I had no tools. I had absolutely zero tools. As far as I was concerned at that point, meditation was some woo-woo thing. It was like for going off to ashrams and being in India. You know, I really had no meditation practice. Now, I prayed, and I grew up with a religious background, so that was my quiet kind of connection. I think that when you, like I said, when you start to appreciate the little things, you know, because it was like clearly a moment in my life where I didn't have the funds to, like, you know, run off and do things. But if you can start somewhere, start to appreciate just the moments, just being outside and playing baseball with him, or he was still in school in Manhattan and I would commute with him on the train every morning. I mean, he was such a trooper. I look back on that time and I can't even believe it. But and to go back to your question about writing, I was a closeted writer. I had always wanted to be a writer. I knew I wanted to be a writer when I was a teenager. And then life took this other very exciting detour when I started modeling. And I was always writing in journals and I loved it. I was really, really passionate about it. And I would sort of create these art books, you know, pasting things in and drawing and writing. And when my life fell apart, I reconnected to that journal writing. And little by little, I was writing inspirational things. I was writing things that made me feel better. And what was coming up for me was, I want to write a book. I want to write a book about this journey. I want to write a book about coming out on the other end of this. And I was very, very naive about what writing a book entailed. And, you know, of course, I had these visions like, I'm just going to write this manuscript. You know, Oprah's going to knock on my front door. She's going to fall in love with it. And the rest will be history. And I also had to fight my inner demons. When you start writing, you start thinking, oh my God, who's going to take me seriously as a writer? All the books that need to be written have already been written. You know, all that chatter in your head. But going back to that, like, checking in and getting quiet and still, if you could just simply ask yourself, like, what brings me pleasure? Like, what do I love to do? And I loved writing. Mm-hmm. And I kept doing it. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily make sense. Yesterday, I just took a mental health day at the last minute. I was like, nothing was working and nothing was going the right way. And I just realized, you know, I don't want to be communicating with people when I'm in this mood. I don't want to be reaching out to people. And it was funny, I found myself doing something I haven't done in years. I was making photo albums online. And sometimes you just need to connect to something that's going to bring you joy and that's going to fill those coffers. And it comes in that stillness. And then it's okay to say to yourself, you know what? I bet you the world isn't going to fall apart in the process. And I'm going to come back to my life so much more whole and so much more abundant. And I'm going to have so much more to give to someone. Yeah. This whole journey for me has been this process of understanding, and this might be very rudimentary for some people, but for me, I never understood the mind-body-spirit connection. I never understood, oh, when my back goes out, I need to ask myself what's going on in my life. I wasn't making any of those connections. And that was a really exciting discovery for me and continues to be.
Yeah. How did you start making those connections?
I think, like I said, as soon as you start seeking, the first book that turns you on, one cracks you open, you just become like voracious, you know? The next thing you know, you're drinking green juices and you're taking yoga classes and you're, you know,
What was that first book for you?
Believe it or not, it was Wayne Dyer.
Okay. I've heard that from some people too.
Yeah. I love Wayne Dyer. This was sort of during this period of crisis. I had a friend who invited me to see Wayne Dyer, to attend one of his workshops. And it was an evening event. And I was thinking, like, great, I'll go listen to the speaker and we'll go out and have drinks afterwards. And we got to the Jacob Javits Center and I looked down at my ticket and I was like, 3 hours? You know, what the hell am I going to be doing here for 3 hours? And I was mesmerized. And, you know, for me, it was, he met me where I was at and he had a a wonderful message and a wonderful mission. And it just like got right into me.
What led you to start Best Self then? Was it this journey of your own discovery and then you wanted to share it with others? Like so many women have similar but different stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was the writing. And I was, like I said before, I was a closeted writer. And I really wasn't even telling anybody about it. And it's so funny, like we get so in our own way, right? Because we're so worried about what everybody else is going to think about us instead of what we think about us, right? So here I was worried that what everyone else was going to say, like, as if they're worried about themselves. They're not sitting there worried about what I'm doing, right? So nobody was going to say, oh, Kristen, who do you think you are being a writer? You know what I mean? It's just like, just get out of your way. Do what makes you happy. So I finally came out of the closet. I finally had a piece I submitted published, and that gave me the bravery to say, like, see, I'm published, I can do this. And what's funny is, like, along this path, I just started paying attention to more people in this space. I started following them. I started attending workshops. And honestly, the idea of the magazine came from my partner. He was just up late one night and scouring something online and came across this platform to build a magazine. And, you know, it was kind of a funny story because when I woke up in the morning, he was basically like, I don't know if you have a dog, but like when a dog needs to go out in the morning and they're staring, you know, intently and right in your face, you open your eyes and there they are. That's what he was doing. And he said, I've either done the craziest thing, because he bought the platform. And he said, I've either done the craziest thing or the most brilliant thing. And I was like, hold on, let me get some coffee. And when I listened to him, I thought, this is an amazing thing. And we have been together for 13 years. We never had a child, but we always knew we were going to birth something creatively. And this was our creative baby. And the more we started talking about it, it was like, we just got so excited because his background is photography. And, you know, we just brought all our collective skill sets together. And we thought, okay, yeah, it is crazy, but let's go for it.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now back to our show.
Love that story. And you've created this collection of a lot of different upbeat, positive, inspiring voices. Now, how do you curate all this great content?
Well, it's funny. I used to be very controlling about it. And I would say, like, okay, you know, Marianne Williamson's on the cover and the entire issue will be built around the theme of whatever Marianne and I were going to talk about. And I did that for a very long time. And that was a little laborious. And then all of a sudden, one day I realized, anything in this self-help realm, anything in this realm of really wanting to live your best self, everything works together. There's, you know, it all goes together. So amazingly, I used to really do a lot of reaching out and curating and communicating. And I'm at a point now where we're entering into our third year where this really falls under the category of if you build it, they will come. And I have more content than I ever could publish. So I feel very blessed. I've spent a lot of time cultivating relationships. So I think people trust what we've created. My interviews are not investigative reporting. My interviews and my magazine and my mission is to celebrate people. I want to celebrate their best selves. No one is perfect, but that's not what we're putting in here. That doesn't mean people can't share those stories if they choose to, but it's about sharing what's possible, sharing where you can travel from here to there and sparking people, inspiring them.
you are personally such a big advocate of finding our unique voice. What's your advice to, you know, there's so many people who are looking to be more fully aligned with the work that they do, with the life that they want to live. Do you have some advice or thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think it goes back to getting still, right? It goes back to getting quiet, whether that's in meditation or prayer or on a hike, and getting real with what's going on in your life and getting honest with yourself. And are you in a job that sucks your soul? Are you in a relationship with a person that doesn't see you? Are you just terrified about your financial situation? Whatever it is, right? We've all got our own Michigas, right? I think it's really about getting honest with yourself and saying, like, what's happening here? And I know, like, listen, life has realities that you can't just toss it all upside down, but you can be brave and take one step to do one thing to initiate some shift. You know, pick one area. You know, for me, my earlier life, I describe it as sleepwalking. I thought, like, I was happy. I thought I was a good person, but I was in a relationship with someone who didn't see me. And when I'm in a relationship with someone who doesn't see me, I'm not seeing myself. And then when you're in that relationship, you can love anyone and life can be fine. But like you said earlier, it can be just on autopilot. And when we're living life like that, we're moving in perpetual motion with the noise of the world and not allowing ourselves to, maybe it's write that book or become that entrepreneur you always wanted to be. And, you know, and again, maybe it's not going to happen overnight, but there's some step, some tiny thing you could do. And for me, I committed to writing every day. I committed to writing every day because it fed my soul and eventually it led somewhere. It wasn't as fast as I would have liked. You know? But I don't know, you know, the universe has got a funny sense of humor that way.
Yeah, very, very funny sometimes. What are some of the things that you're writing about these days?
My favorite thing to write about is the human experience. I'm becoming more candid about my own truth. I am finally going to write my memoir about this experience. And it would be more from the perspective of sharing what is possible and what are the steps sort of out of it. But, you know, if we're going to be honest and tell, if we're going to give someone, you know, the 10 secrets for blah, 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 happiness and inner peace, you need to tell the story and put the meat on the bones and tell them why you know that. And because true, authentic storytelling resonates with people.
And it comes from direct experience.
You hear a piece of yourself in it then. Mm-hmm. Because we are all in this human experience, in its messiness, in its glory,
yeah,
in its ups and its downs, in its potholes, in its breaking patterns. Yeah. And so I love to write in my blogs for Best Self. I write a lot about what it is that we're dealing with. And I find the more I share from a place of vulnerability, the more people respond. Because yes, we're all reaching for our best selves, but in between, I have not so best selfie days.
And I think our best selves are imperfect.
Right.
So it's being able to share that helps other people understand that that's okay.
And also giving yourself permission to change your mind.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And giving yourself permission to course correct. And you can go this way one day and you can go the next way the other way. I think we just get so stuck. We just keep practicing the same thing over and over. And this goes back to developing these patterns that aren't serving us. And the noise in our own head, the limiting beliefs, it's all fear.
Yeah. And so would you say, like, to do a reset is that, you know, you really need to go back into that quiet space and listening to yourself and reconnecting with yourself.
That's and asking really yourself, what am I so afraid of?
Right.
But if you were to sit down and say, like, okay, I think the holidays are a great time to do this also. A great time to sneak away and give yourself some journaling time. Write down what feels good in your life and what doesn't feel good in your life. And what could you do to shift it, big or small? And what scares you about those decisions? What little thing could you be brave enough to do on behalf of yourself? Those kinds of, like, really little things. I think also in the self-help world, everybody then gets to this place where it's like, oh my God, I should be so much more, you know, evolved at this point, or I should be an enlightened being. And we sometimes forget to talk about the day-to-day stuff that really is, it's weighing on all of us.
Yeah. It's so true. There's a guest that we had on the show a couple of weeks ago said, there's no such thing as happily ever after. It's messily ever after. And that's where our work is. And I think that that's true. And I love that you have this magazine called Best Self, but I think that that best self really encompasses such a broad range of days and characteristics and qualities. And
you know, sometimes, you know, you can be your best self in the morning and by lunch, you know, you're not your best self, but, right. You know, but that's also like, you know, I mean, call yourself out on it, but don't beat yourself up. There's a difference. There's a difference of being conscious and aware and then, you know, beating yourself up and telling yourself you're a loser or success is for other people, or I'm never going to be in this love relationship. Love yourself first.
Yeah.
You don't need to be saved. Save yourself first. Every time I was in a relationship where I thought someone was going to save me, and this is when I say the universe is like really funny this way, I got the big old message that that's when my life really fell apart. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. I get it. The irony. I thought this person was going to save me. And this person actually pulled me down the drain. And who's left to pick up the pieces? Me. I've been here all along. I should have just saved myself from day one.
And you can save yourself and still be in a relationship.
Exactly.
So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say a few phrases, kind of some of the, similar to some of the content that you have in the magazine. And I just want you to respond with whatever comes to your mind. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is bringing consciousness into our lives.
For me, consciousness in my life is awareness. And awareness, it's all around you. Your body is trying to tell you things. Your soul and your spirit are trying to tell you things. Your intuitive self. People start thinking like, oh, I'm psychic. Well, we're all psychic.
Mm.
So consciousness is again, I just go back to this beautiful practice of getting quiet, because it's in that quiet that we can become aware of why things are working, why things aren't working.
Yeah, I love that. Being open to possibility.
Being open to possibility is just getting out of your way, figuring out what are you afraid of? What is holding you back? Why are you allowing it to be a roadblock? You know, what's preventing you from living vibrantly and from living with purpose and passion? Because you're meant to live that way.
And reinventing yourself?
Reinventing. Oh, that's a good one. That's like the gift from the gods. You wake up in the morning and you get to reinvent yourself. You get to decide, what is it going to be when I put my feet onto the floor when I'm getting out of bed? What's ahead of me and how am I going to greet it? And what am I grateful for? And how do I want to show up in the world? And how do I want to show up for myself?
Yeah.
I say, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Maybe you didn't. You can get back into bed and you can get out again. So there's reinventing like in the small moments, and then there's reinventing in the big moments. We are not stuck and pigeonholed and stereotyped by anything or labeled by who we've been married to, what our job descriptions are, what has happened to us. We get to decide. And that I think that's the hard part, because sometimes like when you get to a certain age in life, you think like, oh, that ship has passed, or it's too late for me to course correct or change careers or find the love of my life. And it's never too late.
Yeah.
It's never too late.
It's so true. Every single day you get to choose who you are and you get a chance, another chance to reinvent yourself. And I love that advice that you've given. You also, tapping into your wisdom, you have really great articles this month. And there were a few of the titles that just sort of struck me. And I wanted to know if you could just like sort of briefly talk about them.
Sure.
Okay. So the first one, there's an article called Checklist to Make Sure Our Relationships Measure Up.
I think first and foremost is the relationship to self, right? So we really have to take an assessment of, again, what's working, what's not working, what's uplifting, what's draining, from the people we work with to family members to community members, whatever it is. Maybe it's the love relationship I'd said earlier. Does the person that you're in this relationship with see you for who you really are and what your potential is? Does that person nurture you? I've experienced both in my life.
And the last article that I saw that looked really interesting was this concept of breaking up with being busy,
right.
Which is so huge for everyone. So what are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I loved that article because it's really tactical. And I think busyness is a form of self-medication for all of us. And busyness is a way to avoid, again, the stillness or the self-love or touching base with what's really going on, what's really important, what really feeds me. At the end of the day, when you're heading back into bed, like, has it just been a day of frenetic to-do lists and running in circles or attending to the agendas of others? Or did you make some time to feed yourself? Because when we feed ourselves, like my mental health day yesterday,
yeah.
I filled the coffers. You can't pour from an empty pitcher. So busyness is something, listen, I need to read that article 100 times.
Right.
Because I'm a perpetual busy maker. I know that if I go for a hike in the morning, or I wake up and write early in the morning, or I meditate, I know the things that are setting me up for a successful day.
So what's your meditation practice like now?
It's kind of like the picture on the meditation studio's website, you know, Untangle the Mind.
Yeah.
It's like the most imperfect.
Squiggly,
all over the place, noisy, frenetic. Some days it's good, some days it's bad. I'm not a perfect meditator, but I do know that it really helps me. I don't meditate every day. I try, but I find different ways to meditate. So I think the power of meditation is finding that stillness and is settling down and is quieting. And back to what you just said, it's like in the busyness, we don't make any time for meditation, you know? And this is why it's so important that we're creating like the support staff of having apps like Meditation Studio so that you can take it with you wherever you're going. It's really exciting that businesses, more in the corporate sector, are creating meditation rooms because we need it. We're wired and fried. We're on our electronics. You know, I observe my teenage son and I look at him and he's totally addicted to electronics. And we didn't know how bad it was going to be. Hindsight's 2020, but we have got to find a way to spend more time in stillness and less time with our faces and screens.
Well said. Kristen, thank you so much for your wisdom and insights today. You're an incredible inspiration. And I hope everybody runs out and checks out Best Self magazine.
Well, thank you so much. I love chatting with you.
Thanks so much to Kristen for being with us today. To check out Best Self magazine, go to bestselfmedia.com. If you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email us at patricia@meditationstudioapp.com. And don't forget to download Meditation Studio in the App Store. We'll see you next time.